Welcome to Tales She Told Me, a podcast featuring ordinary women who have overcome and done extraordinary things. I'm your host, Farah Haidar. Joining me today is Victoria Wolf. Victoria is an award-winning graphic designer who owns Wolf Design and Marketing, which now focuses on designing covers and interiors for self-published authors. After losing a business they had put their heart and soul into, Victoria and her husband, Rich, decided to sell everything and explore the country in an RV. She and Rich create cooking and RV lifestyle videos via their YouTube channel and website, GF Explorers. Victoria, it's great to have you on here. I have to say I'm a little envious, you know, especially when you just told me that the business that shut down was a gluten-free bakery, which is what I do. There are so many times when I just want to hit the eject button, sell everything, and just like wander. I think like you, I'm a creative, and in our hyper busy lifestyle, I really find it hard to build time in for that like creative, exploratory time. So I'm really curious about how this all started. You had a business, and what happened?
Well, we had started, I'll go back a little further. Rich and I got together in 2013, and I've been gluten-free since 07 and dairy-free almost the entire time as well. Right. And we both love to cook. We've been cooking since we were nine. And he took it as a, you know, a personal challenge to make all of his favorite dishes gluten and dairy-free because he wanted to support, you know, my life, you know.
Yeah.
And when it came to pizza, he's like, well, what are my gluten-free options? And I'm like, none of them are good. You're going to hate them all. And he did hate them all. And so he's like, hey, let's make our own pizza crust. And I'm like, no, I've gone all this time. I'm not getting into 5,000 flowers and xanthan gum and all this stuff. I said, no, I refuse. And he's like, come on, come on. It'll be fun. Mm-hmm. So I agreed. And we started research and development of a pizza crust. And to our surprise, we came up with a pizza crust recipe that was so good. Our non-gluten-free friends just it blew them away.
Wow.
And so we decided because, you know, why not? Let's start a food business. Cause it's easy. And so we started in 2015, very small. We, Rich was working for a restaurant supplier at the time. So he had a lot of contacts and he'd been in food his whole career. And so he started getting restaurants one after another in Denver that would be selling our gluten-free pizza crust. And then one day he's like, hey, let's go to the pizza expo out in Las Vegas. I'm like, okay, yeah, we're in the business now. And then he's like, hey, they have a gluten-free division, a competition, World's Best Pizza. You want to enter? And I'm like, sure, why not? So long story short, we went, we entered, we won World's Best Gluten-Free Pizza in 2016, and we were kind of on our way. Fast forward about 5 years, we had grown. We were in four or five different states. Hundred something locations or grocery stores. We were in almost every restaurant in Denver. Looking and scaling a food business is very, very difficult. We had some investors that didn't go well. We weren't able to go in the direction we need to. And then actually it's coming up on Friday. Tomorrow is the 3-year anniversary of the day I had to send out the notice that the business was closed. It was Victoria's Gluten-Free Kitchen. It was devastating. And it was, I mean, we worked so hard for 5 years. And I was also doing my marketing company at the same time. So I was working two full-time jobs for 5 years. And for it to go away was horrible. And then, but then COVID came and I almost feel responsible for COVID because on February 3rd, before it really started hitting, I said, you know what? I just want to hide for like 3 months. I don't want to go anywhere. I don't want to talk to anybody. I've got to process this. And then we had COVID and I did not go anywhere for 3 or 4 months.
So and you were applauded for it. Nobody asked, yeah. Like, are you crazy? You were applauded for it.
Yeah. And I think it made it easier. It made it a little bit easier transition, not having to deal, you know, go out and live my normal life and have to deal with that loss. So I'm kind of thankful for it.
Yeah, just as someone who's in the food business as well, I can totally relate. It is a tough business. And to put your heart and soul into it and then close it down is just devastating. So you're there, you close it down, you're like, I want to hide for 3 months. Although I will have to tell you, by the way, direct to consumer really exploded during COVID. So there was that.
Yes. And that would have been everybody's like, well, you wouldn't have made it anyways. I'm like, oh no, we would have. We had an online portion of the business that was really just starting to take off and we would have we would have been fine. But, you know, that's water under the bridge.
So we'll talk about that more offline. But so you're there. You're like, I want to hide for 3 months, right? And but I'm assuming at this time you weren't living in the RV. You were living staying at a home. So how does that come up? Hey, let's just sell everything and go to an RV. Like,
you know, that's an interesting question. Now, previous to that, I've had no RV experience whatsoever. I just want to state that I don't camp. I didn't do anything. But Rich, in a previous relationship, he full-time RV'd for a couple years. He really liked it, but he would have wanted to do it again. And so we had gone to an RV show, I think the year before, so I could actually see and step into RVs because I never had. And I'm like, oh, this is cool. And I have always wanted to live full-time in an RV, even though I've never been in an RV. It's just one of those weird things. And so we looked at each other. We're kind of the people that we need a goal. We need a big dream. And so we were in pain, you know, trying to deal with that. And we're like, you know what, that's what we're going to do. Nothing is keeping us in Denver because our son was going to graduate from high school in about a year actually. And it's like, there's nothing keeping us here. We're young, you know, enough to do this. Mm-hmm. Let's do it now. So we set the goal and we had 2 years to plan and get ready. And I think that's really what helped us. There's a lot of different things that helped us with the grief of that business, but having that goal was really important. And at the same time, we had to rebuild my marketing company. Rich came into the company, started working in it. And so we had to rebuild it since I had kind of scaled back running the two businesses. So we had a lot to do in 2 years. And it was a good feeling knowing that there was something, you know, down the line that would kind of make up for losing the business, make our lives whole again, however you want to look at it. Mm-hmm. So, we had nothing to lose and because kind of the people we are, hey, let's start a gluten-free, you know, company. Hey, let's live full time in an RV. Yeah. We kind of do those things.
You know, I can relate to that. And my husband used to tell me all the time, like one of his big, big dreams is to cross the US in an RV. And then he watched the movie RV and there's that scene, you know, that movie with,
From McDormand. Yeah. Francis. Yeah. I think
No. It's my God, he's dead now. Famous comedian. How can I forget his name? Did Mindy and Mork. You would know this because you're, I think.
Oh, Robin. Oh, yes, that one.
Robin Williams. Thank you. Oh, my God. What a brain. Yeah. But Robin Williams, where like he's doing the toilet thing in the RV and it sprays all over him. And that was it. My husband was like, that's it. I'm done. I'm like, really? It's a movie. You know, but he was like, no.
Like that at all.
No, did not like that. So, So you have never done this before. You've never lived in an RV. So explain to us a little bit about the process. Like, what have you learned from living in an RV? Like, what's the benefits? What's the downside?
What I've learned is quite a long list. And you don't just learn procedural stuff, how to live in an RV. You also learn a lot about yourself. You learn about, you know, whether you like change, whether you can pivot quickly and how you handle things that pop up just because you live in an RV. Mm-hmm. I want to state that we do not live in a small RV. We are not roughing it. We aren't even glamping. Our whole goal was to live in an RV, but the RV needed to live like a house, not live like an RV. And so we are in a 43-foot fifth wheel, and you can see the RV is what I'm in right now, and it's behind me. We have a fireplace. We have a washer and dryer. We have a dishwasher. We have a huge kitchen because obviously we do cooking videos. We are not skimping. We are not, you know, roughing it in any way, shape, or form. It feels like we're living in a small apartment. And I was pretty sure I could live in 400 square feet. We went from 2,400 square foot house to 400 square feet. And part of the business, we were driving to Iowa and Nebraska every 3 or 4 weeks for like 2 years, delivering product and stuff. And so we had that adventure, and we would stay in hotels. But you know, it was a little delivery van. I could only take a little bit with me. You know, I couldn't take the big suitcase because I'm an overpacker. So I kind of got a little experience that way. And I knew that I loved doing that. But the one thing I didn't like is I didn't have all my stuff with me as we were traveling. Yeah. And so I realized living in an RV is the best way to travel because you get to see all these different places, but all your stuff is with you at all times. And that's kind of like one of my things. I need my stuff. I need all of my makeup and all of my hair stuff and the food that I eat, you know, because eating for me is difficult and traveling. And so once that was there, it's like everything is just easy to do because it's, we're just traveling around. And the maintenance of an RV, yes, there's a lot of maintenance. Rich handles almost all of that. There's, you know, every time you get somewhere, you got to hook up the water, hook up the sewer, hook up the electric. You know, you can see things behind me are on tables and shelves. That all has to be put away and then put back out. So, I mean, there is some work involved with, you know, living in an RV and traveling, but for me, it's not, I love every minute of it. It's been wonderful.
So, okay. So that was going to be one of my next questions, which is like, how difficult is it to move this RV around?
Rich drives it. I don't drive. He is quite amazing with it. I mean, you have to be thoughtful and careful and check and double check and triple check, which we have a plan for when we move, how to break down. And once we get there, how to set up, there are some places we can't go because we're long. We have a 350 dually that pulls the fifth wheel. Yeah. So I think total length when we're hooked up is like 60 something feet. I mean, we're not short.
Yeah.
And 13.3 high. So, you know, we just have to go to certain parks. Not every park can handle us. But once you do it and you get into the process, it's really no big deal. And there's other ways to RV that aren't a fifth wheel. Like you could do a Class A, which has a little bit less breakdown and setup, a little bit easier. You could do a C, which is a kind of a smaller A sort of. And then there's a B, which is like a van. So there's, you can choose. That's what's great. It's like, well, if you don't want to break down and set up so much, don't get a fifth wheel, go get a drivable, like an A, a B, or a C. Depending on what your needs or desires are, I think you could find an RV that you could full-time in. And people full-time in travel trailers too, which has a little bit less, you know, breakdown and setup, especially because there's no hitch, you know, no, well, there's a hitch, but it's a bumper pull, not a actual hitch.
But, so, yeah. Do you have any like wild stories, like people you've met, or because for me, like one of the things that freaks me out is like, and it shouldn't probably, but it's like, you know, it seems so close to other people and to like anybody can walk in and like just, I don't know, that's what freaks me out about it.
Well, it can be. It depends what park. We stay in parks. We don't do any what's called boondocking, where you go out in the middle of nowhere and you don't have any services and you just live off your batteries or your solar if you have solar. We don't do that because we work. We need internet access. We need, and usually that you're going to get better internet access closer to cities. And we like cities. We like to go out and do things. Some sites have been so close that, you know, you feel a little claustrophobic, but that fewer and far between for us in our experience. Most sites have a decent amount of space. The one thing that really surprised me, one of the first places we went last year was outside of Detroit. Rich is from Detroit, so we were there for a couple months visiting family and stuff. And this is my favorite campground to date, called Camp Dearborn. And they get a lot of weekenders. Okay. So they come in on Friday, they leave on Sunday. So the place fills up every weekend. Mm-hmm. And I never realized what it's like to be in a park like that. You're sitting outside, because we sit outside a lot. That's outdoor space that's not included in the 400 square feet. Mm-hmm. And then everybody else is outside. And I had no idea I was going to be watching, which you can't help but watch, everybody's there. Everybody enjoy their vacation or their weekend. It's like everybody lives their lives outside, and the weekenders do, of their RV. Yeah. And it's just so weird, because you live in a neighborhood, everybody's almost inside living their lives. But on those weekends, I'm watching everybody. And it's so cool to watch them with their families and having fun. And, you know, because we're full time, it's, you know, we're not like partying every single day or, you know, we just have a normal life. But that was really, really cool. And we were in one place in St. Mary's, Georgia, which we absolutely love the area. We were really, really close, but it never felt too close. And I never felt like people were invading my space. You know, you have a certain amount of space around your site. And so you live with that. And I never feel unsafe. It's all a very warm and welcoming community, the RV community is. Mm. And that's one of the things that I'm very happy about. And I always feel good in a park.
Yeah, it's lovely. I think it's something that I would at least like to take a trip in an RV, because I agree. And I actually think, like, a lot of people think maybe kids aren't great for it. I'm like, what better way to travel with children than having like full capabilities, and you're able to, you know, just, you have everything for them, right? Versus when you're traveling in a hotel, you're like, crimped up. And
yeah, it's expensive. And so you can cook, you have facilities, it's less expensive if you're doing a trip than hotel rooms. And you can easily rent RVs all over the country. There's private renters, people who rent their RVs out, and then there's companies that do it. But it is a great way to kind of test the waters to see how you're going to like it or not like it, possibly.
Yeah, that's amazing. So do you think this is forever for you?
Nothing's ever forever for us. we said 3 to 5 years, and we in April we'll be a year in. And so we're still saying at least a couple more years. So I think probably minimum 3, it could be longer. It just depends. And I like that we don't have to decide. There's no reason we have to decide. The day we look at each other and go, we're not having as much fun as we used to, it's time to find some place to settle down, then we'll do it. And yeah, we're just kind of very open about that.
Now, have you stayed mainly on the East Coast, or have you gone like all over the country?
Well, we started out from Denver, so we kind of had the West, part of the West covered. But we have been mainly in the East this year. Well, last year, this whole year. But now we're in Mississippi, and then we're going to be headed back to Colorado via New Mexico for a while, and then back to Detroit, and then back to Idaho next year for a rally, and then down to Palms. Why are we going to Palms? Somewhere south, and then back to Florida. So we're going to do a big loop next year. That's going to take us much further than we've gone this year.
Oh, wow. And during that, you're also doing GF Explorers, which explores gluten-free recipes. Like, tell us a little bit about that.
We one of the things we decided we want to do when the business closed is we felt we had all this knowledge and all these recipes to share with the gluten-free community. So we started the YouTube channel in April of 21, I think, 21, sharing recipes. And then when we started, we really got into planning for the RV life, we added RV videos too. So our channel is kind of dual. There's cooking, and then there's RV life. But the umbrella is everything that obviously that I do is gluten-free. So we're always, looking for, new gluten-free foods, ways to cook food, restaurants to some degree. I mean, it's very hard for me to eat with the gluten and dairy-free, but we find some out there, and we like to talk about that. And, it's been really fun doing that. I love doing cooking videos. We love doing the RV videos. And then we do that, and we have our, the book business, Wolf Design and Marketing. And, my Rich is the person who helps the authors get the books up to Amazon. I'm the one who does all the creative, the covers, the interior, stuff like that. And then I also have I call it the art business that was supposed to be a business by now, but I haven't really painted much in the last year or so. That's a goal to get back into painting. So we're pretty busy. We work a lot, but we like it that way.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like you're so super busy. So let's say you decide to make this decision, like, I'm going to live in an RV. What was the reaction you got, maybe from your children or family or friends? Or, like, was everyone like, yeah? Or were people like, what you thinking?
Yeah, that's a good question. I can say that our son, he was like, that's so cool, because he's come out to visit us in Florida over Christmas. So he's, benefiting from the, hey, they're in Florida, I'm going to go see them in Florida. And he thinks it's really cool. My mom was not, I mean, I think she was happy, but she was less happy that I wouldn't, I'd be gone for a year. It's going to be a full year that I have seen her. And that's going to be the last time it's that long. It'll be like every 6 months or so. For friends and colleagues and stuff, most of them are like, oh my God, that is so cool. Some were like, well, how are you going to work? So they needed to know that we had internet and things like that. But the majority of people they just think it's cool. And every time I get a new client, I make sure I let them know. It's like, okay, this is what we do. Because I have in my signature, it's like, we're going to be here and we're going to be here. And I don't want people to think, something weird's going on. So, but they all think it's really cool. And I think it adds to both of our abilities to connect with our authors, because we're having so many different experiences, and that just keeps adding up and adding up. But didn't have anybody who said, you're crazy. Nobody, maybe they thought that, but they're like, no, I'm not going to tell her.
They were too polite. They were like, oh, we'll just let her figure that out. I think it's actually like, fantasy fulfillment. It's kind of like when Liz Gilbert did Eat, Pray, Love, everybody, like, you know, the reaction was kind of like, people were like, oh my God, how could she just desert everything like that? But most of the women that I met were like, she's so smart. She hit the eject button, right? Like, it was, was definitely one of those things. So that's awesome. So now I have this question that I ask all of my podcasters, and that is, what is a weird habit or ritual you have that brings more joy into your life?
I'm going to answer that with that. I have quite a few habits and rituals. I will not say I have OCD, but I have certain things, and this kind of goes along with, I have to have my stuff with me. I'm very spontaneous. However, mm-hmm. I'm very structured, and it's those structured things, I think, that bring me joy because they make my life make sense. Like, mm-hmm. I put my makeup on in the same exact order every single time. I do not deviate. I take a shower in the, you know, it's like, you know, wash the face, do the hair, same exact order. There's a lot of things that I do same exact order every time. And I think that would probably be the best answer to that question. And that makes me happy because it brings me a sense of control, I guess. I don't know what it does.
You know, there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. I get that. I have a lot of rituals and stuff. My husband sometimes thinks I'm a little nuts, but you know,
okay. Mine too. Yeah.
Well, Victoria, it was an absolute pleasure having you. If you're out there and you'd like to follow Victoria's adventures as she zips through the country, you can check out her website at www.gfexplorers.com or find her on all major social media channels at GF Explorers. All links in the show notes below. As always, I'd love to hear from you about this episode. Have you ever wanted to hit the eject button? I get it. Hit me up on Instagram or Facebook at Farah Haydar. Don't forget to hit the subscribe button so you'll get notified when a next episode is available. Also, I'm giving away a PDF of some of the best quotes you've had on the show. Beautifully designed to print and journal your thoughts. Email me at farah@farahhaydar.com and title it Quotes. Talk to you soon. Till then, chase your happy.